spending each commercial break drawing inappropriate cartoons. Here's Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, Buckeye basketball team trying to avoid a third straight loss as they go to Maryland. 11 versus 12. Bill Landis, who covers Ohio State hoops and football for The Athletic, jumps on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Bill, welcome aboard.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good, buddy. Thank you. So they did interviews yesterday. And, you know, we all watched the game against Wisconsin, and we saw Wisconsin close that game on a 14-6 run. And it was for many reasons, right? They were beating guys off the dribble. Ohio State's turning the ball over. Wisconsin hit a couple of key shots. In an honest moment, what do you think is most concerning to Chris Holtmann right now? What's most concerning about his team?
At the moment, I think it's not having Kyle Young, because there were some key offensive rebounds that Wisconsin got at the end of that game too, that I think in Chris Holtmann's mind, he's thinking, well, if Kyle Young's on the floor, maybe we get one or two of those, and that's one or two possessions that Wisconsin doesn't extend, and maybe they don't score. So I think he's looking at it in a vacuum. I honestly think he's been in a little bit of a dour mood lately, and obviously they're losing.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. But I also think part of it is too, is like, man, here we go again. We lost another guy, and Kyle Young's not going to be out for a prolonged period, but he didn't play in that game. I'd be surprised if he played tonight, because he had his appendix removed a week ago. But I think that's what's preoccupying Chris Holtmann's thoughts more than anything right now, is how they proceed without Kyle Young, forever long that's going to take.
You know, Bill, and the other piece of that, you know, they've kind of been kind of sloppy with the basketball. Like, they struggled with West Virginia. You know, they struggled against Wisconsin with that. Like, I mean, do you feel like they'll be able to get that corrected given the youth and dependence on that youth of this team?
Well, they should be able to, right? Like C.J. Walker's played a lot of basketball. Like, I know that he in his career has not been a super efficient player when it comes to turnovers, but in my opinion, a guy who's played as much as he has should not have a turnover percentage that's up over 20%. And he's up there, and D.J. Carton's up there, and I think it's a little more excusable with D.J. because he's a freshman, and he's sort of learning the ropes and learning what he can and can't do. And I suppose you give C.J. Walker a little bit of a break because he's in a new league and he's playing different competition, and maybe it's a little more physical than he was playing against in the ACC. But that's a guy who should be protecting the ball a little more than he has been on the whole for the season. And I'm not trying to put it all on him, because it's spread around. Caleb Weston's turned the ball over too. Andre Weston, your only senior's turned the ball over. But I look at C.J. Walker first and foremost as a guy who's got to kind of calm everybody down and start making some smarter plays, because he's a guy who's logged a lot of starting point guard minutes as a college basketball player.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the unfair thing, is that they had such a great non-conference. You know, everybody, including us, moved the bar for them. And yeah, I guess rightfully so. You know, you get to be a top five team in the country. You know how wide open this year is in college basketball. So I'm not going to fault fans for thinking big dreams of Final Four and perhaps better. But now that they've come back to earth a little bit, I guess we all have to kind of check ourselves a little bit. Okay, still some young guys on this team, but now they're going back on the road on a two-game losing streak. And I'll ask it this way. Do you feel that this game is almost a turning point for them in any way, or am I putting too much emphasis on it?
Yeah, you know, I almost put it in those terms myself when I was writing my story the other day after the Wisconsin game, and I kind of stopped, because I don't want to put so much on an early January game, but Maryland's really good. They're a top 15 team. They got some NBA guys. They're not maybe as deep as they usually are. This is a tough place to play out here in Maryland too. So it's a game that I think would tell you a lot if Ohio State wins. And if they lose, like, depending on how it happens, I don't think it's the end of the world, because it's just tough to win on the road in the Big Ten. So maybe that's kind of a cop-out answer. But if Ohio State comes out here and beats Maryland on the road, where I think Ohio State's 1-5 here all time, in the games they played in College Park, I think that shows you something, especially if they're doing it shorthanded, if they do it coming off the back-to-back losses where they haven't played very well. So it's not do or die in the sense of, like, the whole season's riding on this, but I think you could learn a lot about them if they win this game tonight.
All right, so looking at this, Bill, do you anticipate them winning this game tonight?
No, and it's not because of anything, you know, all that insightful, other than it's really hard to win on the road. I don't know. Their point guard defense has not been great this year. Like, the UNC game against Cole Anthony aside, I don't think Ohio State's done a great job of guarding elite point guards, and Anthony Cowan on Maryland certainly is one of those, and he has a knack for making big plays late in games, and I don't know if I've seen enough from the guys who are going to guard that position to make me think that they're going to be able to stop the combination of Anthony Cowan and Jalen Smith. I think it's going to be a good game, because I think Ohio State's desperate for a win. And Maryland's feeling pretty good about itself with the way it played against Indiana the other night. But I'll take the team that has maybe one or two more pros than Ohio State to win at home.
Yeah, I mean, they had all those guys coming back except, Bruno Fernando, or is – I always, yep. Sometimes last year I called him Fernando Bruno. It worked. It goes either way. But you're right. They've got guys back. They're playing good basketball right now. They're at home. They smell a little blood in the water. Ohio State will certainly have their attention, even though Ohio State's lost two in a row. Turgeon will certainly have them awake. We move to football for a second. And your thoughts about this Ohio State football team coming back without Sean Wade, and then what it did for your mood when he said, "I'm coming back." Like, how much different did you feel about what they will be with one guy coming back?
Pretty significantly different. And part of it's Sean Wade's talent. And I said all of last season, I thought that he was the most important guy to the structure of the defense. Obviously, he wasn't the most talented because of Chase Young and Jeff Okuda, but Wade is very talented in his own right. And I know he'll be stepping outside of that role a little bit and been playing more outside corner when he comes back. But I just think he was such an important guy to the defense last year, and for him to put off the NFL. And frankly, I think he would have been a second-round pick. Like, maybe he still could have stuck into the first round. For him to put that off and come back, and I guess part of it, or a large part of it, is to help himself and solidify his draft stock more. But part of it is, too, because I think he wants to come help his team win a national championship, and they need leadership on that defense. So it's not that I thought they were going to be awful on defense next year, but if you can avoid some of the turnover that it looks like they were going to have and avoid it with a guy like Sean Wade, who I think by the end of next year we'll all be talking about as a no doubt about it first round cornerback. That's huge.
Bill, how concerned are you about the running back position with J.K. Dobbins leaving?
Not as concerned as I would be if Josh Myers and Wyatt Davis and Thayer Munford weren't coming back. I just think it all starts there. And it's not to say that running back's not important, because it is, especially if you can get a dynamic guy like J.K. But with all the receiver talent they have, Justin Fields is a dynamic athlete in his own right, and I think they'll feel comfortable running him a little more next year because they'll have some better quarterback depth. I think you can sort of mitigate the fact that you're seeing a drop in talent at the running back position. And behind that offensive line, which is going to be awesome next year because you're losing Jonah Jackson and Brandon Bowen, and you're probably going to be replacing them with Harry Miller and Nick Petit-Frere, who are five-star prospects, top 30, top 10 kind of national players. That line is going to be in a really good spot, and everything else in the offense is going to be clicking and firing basically as good as it can be. So I'm not super concerned, and I'm not trying to negate what J.K. did. I just think if you're going to have to work in a new guy, I think that's a pretty good spot to work him into.
You covered this team when Joe Burrow was on it, and I guess I'll get your thoughts on the fact that he is going to be playing in a football game for the national title, an SEC team, won the Heisman. Like, how big of a story is this in your mind? A kid leaving Ohio State to try to go make his mark and then be four quarters away from being a champ.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, every time I see him on television, I stop for a second, just like, man, Joe Burrow is doing all this stuff. And I thought he'd be good. I always liked Joe, and I'm not like trying to jump on the bandwagon now. I was there at a state title game when Athens lost to Toledo Central Catholic. And I thought I saw it then. Like, I think he'd be this, but I thought he'd be a kid who'd eventually be a really good, productive starter in college. And now he's taken it to a whole other level. So it's still a little surreal even to see him in these positions. And his Heisman speech was incredible. I think they're going to win when they play Clemson, and he'll be obviously a large part of that. So it's crazy to see. Nobody could have predicted it. I'm happy for Joe because I always liked him as a person. And, you know, it goes to show you that in this climate where guys want to sort of jump at the first chance when they don't get their starting job, if you do wait it out, at least Joe Burrow is an example of what can happen if you sort of take the long road and bide your time.
Yeah, it's no doubt, Bill. And then would you be happy if he's the number one overall pick coming back to Cincinnati?
I think it'd be a cool story. I don't know if that's the best spot for Joe to go. I think he might, I don't know, there might be a little more few other places he could go to maybe have a little more success early on, but I guess it'd be cool for him to come back to the state of Ohio and play here in front of people who watched him play in college. But, and I'm sure he'd love to be the number one pick, but they're not a Joe Burrow away from being a winning football team there. So it's going to be a long road to success there for the Bengals if that's where Joe goes.
And when you're a quarterback needy team and you're picking number one, it's pretty much done. It's usually a done deal. Bill, great stuff, man. Have a great start to the new year, and we'll talk to you again soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.